Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
Hello, I'm Alan Stanford, and welcome to Macbeth in Monaghan. So, the plan is agreed. The murder is going to take place. It's going to happen, and Macbeth is going to do it. Shakespeare doesn't show the murder, but in two very brilliant scenes, he shows the moment before the murder and the effect it has on Macbeth and his wife after the murder is committed. Before this terrible act of regicide, the murder of a king, Macbeth sees a ghostly dagger pointing him the way to Duncan's room, urging him on to do it, but it's also showing to us what's going to happen. This dagger of the mind tells us what will occur in Duncan's room.
Is this a dagger which I see before me, the handle toward my hand? Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not, fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Or art thou but a dagger of the mind, a false creation proceeding from the heat-oppressed brain? I see thee yet, in form as palpable as this which now I draw. Thou marshallest me the way that I was going, and such an instrument I was to use. Mine eyes are made the fools of the other senses, or else worth all the rest. I see thee still, and on thy blade and dudgeon, gouts of blood which was not so before.
And so the vision is becoming worse. He sees a dagger. Then he sees a dagger dripping with blood. This dagger of the mind telling him this is what's going to happen.
There's no such thing. It is the bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes. Now o'er the one half world, nature seems dead, and wicked dreams abuse the curtained sleep. Witchcraft celebrates pale Hecate's offerings.
And that's about darkness again. Half the world is in darkness, the half of the world in which he exists.
And withered murder, alarmed by his sentinel, the wolf, whose howls his watch, thus with his stealthy pace, with Tarquin's ravishing strides, towards his design moves like a ghost.
A very, very important passage, because Macbeth is almost turning murder itself into an entity. You can almost imagine this strange creature, murder, coming towards him.
Thou sure and firm set earth, hear not my steps which way they walk, for fear thy very stones prate of my whereabout, and take the present horror from the time which now suits with it. Whilst I threat, he lives, words to the heat of deeds too cold breath gives.
He admits to himself, I can talk about it and talk about it, but if I don't do something about it, nothing's going to happen. And then a bell rings.
I go, and it is done. The bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan, for it is a knell that summons thee to heaven or to hell.
And thank you to Garrett Salmon for beautifully reading The Dagger Thief. And so, almost in a state of terror, Macbeth goes to kill Duncan. Lady Macbeth is waiting for him to come back. And in a way, she's just as frightened. It's actually very important, this. They're not monsters, they're human beings. These are ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances. And what Shakespeare is saying is, this could be you.
That which had made them drunk had made me bold. What had quenched them had given me fire. Hark! Peace. It was the owl that shrieked the fatal bellman, which gives the sternest good night. He is about it. The doors are open, and the surfeited grooms do mock their charge with snores. I have drugged their possets, that death and nature do contend about them, whether they live or die.
Who's there?
Alack, I am afraid they have awakened, and 'tis not done. The attempt and not the deed confounds us. Hark, I laid their daggers ready. He could not miss them. Hath he not resembled my father as he slept? I had done it.
And in this sequence, Shakespeare is showing us the humanity of Lady Macbeth. He's showing us her fear. She's saying, I've done this, I've done that, I put it all right, I prepared everything. Then she hears a noise. What? What is it? Oh, no, no, it's okay, it was only the owl. It's nothing, don't be frightened. Then, after the murder, Macbeth returns.
My husband.
I have done the deed. Didst thou not hear a noise?
I heard the owl scream and the crickets cry. Did not you speak?
When?
Now.
As I descended?
Aye.
Hark, Who lies in the second chamber?
Donal Bain.
And then he looks at his hands.
This is a sorry sight.
His hands are covered in Duncan's blood. And then he talks about frightening noises. He heard a voice shouting out.
There's one did laugh in his sleep, and one cried, "Murder!" That they did wake each other. I stood and heard them, but they did say their prayers and address them again to sleep.
There are two lodged together.
One cried, "God bless us," and "Amen," the other, as they had seen me with these hangman's hands, listening their fear. I could not say "Amen" when they did say, "God bless us."
Consider it not so deeply.
But wherefore could not I pronounce "Amen"? I had most need of blessing, and "Amen" stuck in my throat. Methought I heard a voice cry, "Sleep no more, Macbeth does murder sleep." The innocent sleep, sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care, the death of each day's life, sore labour's bath, balm of hurt minds, great nature's second course, chief nourisher in life's feast.
What do you mean?
Still, it cried, "Sleep no more," to all the house. Glamis hath murdered sleep, and therefore Cawdor shall sleep no more. Macbeth shall sleep no more.
It's a terrible prophecy on himself. The realization that he will never sleep soundly in his bed again. It's an absolute declaration of the horror of what he's done. And again, he keeps bringing us back, not to Macbeth as a monster, but to Macbeth as an ordinary man who has done a monstrous thing. Shakespeare is saying to his audience, each and every one of you is capable of doing, and when you do it, you won't sleep sound again.
Infirm of purpose, give me the daggers. The sleeping and the dead are but as pictures. 'Tis the eye of childhood that fears a painted devil. If he do bleed, I'll gild the faces of the grooms with all, for it must seem their guilt.
Whence is that knocking? How is it with me when every noise appalls me? What hands are here? Ha, they pluck out mine eyes. Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood clean from my hand? No. This my hand will rather the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red.
Now that's a very interesting sequence, in the sense that Lady Macbeth proves herself to be infinitely more practical. It's the woman coming out in her again. It's that sense of, don't be stupid. All it is your own fear. The fear within yourself that let the dagger come into your mind. She's trying to shake him out of this deep-rooted fear that she can see could make him go and confess the murder straight away. That knocking at the door appalls him. Not for the fact that someone's knocking at the door, but for the amount of fear that it causes in him. The slightest noise almost makes his heart stop with fear. And again, the look at the blood on his hands. He'll never be able to wash that blood off. This man is very, very frightened. His wife comes back.
My hands are of your colour, but I shame to wear a heart so white. I hear knocking. A little water clears us off this deed. How easy it is, then. Your constancy had left you unattended. Hark, hark, more knocking. Get on your nightgown, lest occasion call us and show us to be watchers. Be not lost so poorly in your thoughts.
Wake, Duncan, with thy knocking. I would thou couldest.
That line tells you the degree of regret that Macbeth now feels for what he's done. It is deeply important. We have had the prophecy that said you will be king. We have seen him, in collusion with his wife, agree to the murder of the king and carry it out. And what it has done has not elevated or enriched Macbeth. It hasn't made him feel better. It's made him feel a hell of a lot worse. Thank you there to Sinead O'Connor as Lady Macbeth, Garrett Salmon as Macbeth, and the wonderful performance of Brian Boyle as the voice off.
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.